and asking God, Lord, what is the way forward concerning West Hudson Christian Center? He's given us a vision and we have a mission statement. We have our vision is broken down into four. Into four, making the mission statement, worshiping Christ, a house of prayer. What's the third one? Caring for the family and connecting to the community. That's our mission statement. And so when you look at this mission statement, worship is ultimate. House of prayer. There is no thing called worship without prayer. So we value prayer. Prayer is basically talking to God and hear a conversation that we have with God. And the third being connecting to the community, mission, our community. He's called us to our community and to be a blessing to our community. And the fourth one being caring for families. Over here, families matter. Family is at the heartbeat of God. And over here, we care for the family, the role of the father, the role of the mother, the role of the children. And not just in individual homes, but we also see ourselves here as family. And so if you've observed, right from when the Lord called me to begin serving here, it's always been about how we treat one another. In a family, a lot happens, but at the end of the day, we have to love one another. And we are of the family of the Lord God. And so we need to love one another. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to speak to us, being that today is our church workers' day. I've been praying and I've been asking God, what? And he said, begin to prepare them for the year that is ahead. Begin to prepare them for the year that is ahead. For the year that is coming will be a lot of service required. A lot of service required. You see, the child of God's ultimate calling is to worship the Lord God. And we worship God in many ways. And the second aspect of worship is service. When the Lord calls upon you, are you willing? The Lord has called upon you and I to be his hand in our world. God loving the world so much, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have an eternal life. God has put a great call outside to all souls. But you see, the moment you come to him as your God, as your Lord, and as your deliverer, and as your savior, however you see him, the next thing he wants you to do is the Great Commission. Go ye to the nations and preach the gospel. And so today being our Workers' Sunday, you will find that the next few weeks coming, I'm going to begin preparing us to really being servants of God. Many Christians have accepted the Lord as their personal savior. Many Christians are worshiping God with our words, with our songs, but we have forgotten there is an aspect of the service. Serving God, giving ourselves. And so this morning, I'm speaking on the subject, I surrender. There's a song that says, I surrender, oh. I surrender all to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. When you hear this song and the words that is in, the writer is saying, I give you my totality. Christians love to sing this song, but most of us have not surrendered all. We love the singings, we love the readings, we love, but then when it comes to the other part, the doing the work, the continuing the agenda of God, the reaching the rest of the world, the ministering to people, to be a blessing, the discipling, the doing to keep the kingdom forward, a lot of Christians fall short. Today I'm speaking from John chapter 6, 1 to 15. I'll call on Brother Keith to come and read it for us. Brother Keith, as we know, is a good reader. We have a lot of blessed gifts in this house, and I love to hear him read. And so I will ask him to read the passage for us, and then we shall go into it, quickly breaking it down, and then we shall have our communion. God bless you so much.
Thank you, Pastor. Feeding of the 5 loaves, thousands, rather. After this, Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee. A huge crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was performing by healing the sick. Jesus went up to a mountain and sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, a Jewish festival, was near. So when Jesus looked up and noticed a huge crowd coming toward him, he asked Philip, "Where will we buy bread so that these people can eat?" He asked this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 2,000 denarii worth of bread wouldn't be enough for each of them to have just a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. The men numbered about 5,000. Then Jesus took the loaves, and after giving thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were full, he told the disciples, "Collect the leftovers so that nothing is wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces from the 5 barley loaves that were left over by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." Therefore, when Jesus realized that they were coming about to come and take him by force and make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself.
Thank you. Shall we please pray? Father, this morning we thank you. We give you glory and we give you honor. Father, thank you for your word you have for us. Thank you for Jesus you gave for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for the example you've come to set for us. Thank you that you are the sign. We yield to you this morning. We pray in Jesus' name that by your Spirit, Lord God, you will speak to us. Holy Spirit, I yield to you and I surrender to you. I pray today you will give me clarity. You give me favor in speaking to your people. And may you give us all favor in hearing that which you have for us. Grant us the grace to take it, O Lord, and walk away from here blessed, called, prepared for the journey to which you have ahead of us. This we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So in this passage, if you're looking at the title of your Bible, you might find that some translations say the bread of heaven. Others will say the bread from heaven. Others will say Jesus feeds the 5,000. Or just simple short, the 5,000. I have called this sermon that I'm going to speak here, "I Surrender." Why do I say "I Surrender"? We see clearly in this passage here, the Lord Jesus, having performed so many miracles, and people people following him, a lot of people coming from all sorts of backgrounds. In the end of this, but sometimes, some point, you find that the writer says that, and the men numbered 5,000. The miracle of the 5,000, feeding 5,000 people. Feeding 5,000 people. This, the writer has made clear in John that the men numbered 5,000. So really, if you look at, I mean, the culture those times, men were the people who were counted for census. The culture really kind of like lifted men to a certain level in society. And so if men were 5,000, let's begin to look at something. Men were 5,000, and from our understanding of human existence, everywhere you see men, except it's a strict meeting only for men, you find that there are women there, and normally the women are more than the men. You come to church, there are more women than men. You everywhere you go, women in society number more than men. And so you can tell, for some reason, okay, the men are 5,000. If the women are more than the men, let's give them, okay, I'll try not to double it. Let's make it maybe they were about 7,000 or 8,000. I mean, women. Some women in addition. And then if there are women, then surely there is going to be children. Just as we see in this passage, there was a young boy whose loaves of barley were taken with the fishes. And so if there are children, we are roughly talking of about 17 to 20,000 people. And Jesus, pulling such much crowd and coming to a certain point and turning himself, looking at the people following him, we are now looking at the humanity of Jesus Christ. Jesus stops and he looks at the people following him. They had been following him for days, the whole day from morning. He had been performing miracles and they had been following him. And he had been also feeding them, as Matthew puts it. And so you can find that these people were spiritually hungry. They needed more of God's word. And Jesus had been feeding them spiritually. He had been healing them of their diseases and their sicknesses. And they were following him. But now Jesus comes to a certain point and he realizes that, you know what? The spiritual is not enough for these people. I need to meet their physical need too. These people are hungry. And they might need food. They might need food. They need food, as a matter of fact. That's Jesus looking at them. And so he asks Philip a question. Where can we find bread to buy for these people? Where can we find bread? And Philip opens his mouth. You see, it could be Jesus. I keep thinking to myself, why didn't Jesus ask Peter or somebody else but Philip? And we all know, I mean, history tells us that Philip was from Bethsaida, in the vicinity of where this incident, this miracle happened. So it could be Jesus asked him, just so, you know, where do you think we can buy bread? You know here better. Let's just put it that way. You know here better, maybe in Kearney. You know Kearney better than I do. I have just moved into Kearney. As a matter of fact, you know USA better than I do. I am still learning about this country. I am not naturally from here. I wasn't born in this land. I've only been in this country 9 years. And so you would know a lot about this country than I do, even though I am seriously researching and studying about this land. You would know things in this land better than I do. And so as a pastor, I come to lead you, and we all know we are called to serve our community. We are called as Christians This year, 2019, is coming to an end. And the calling is that we take care of the community. We serve the community. And so Jesus is asking his disciple Philip, where can we find bread? And I may probably come because you know here better. And so I will ask you, based on what is on my heart, where can we find maybe shelter here or homeless or whatever here? Philip quickly opens his mouth. He said this to test him. See, the writer makes it clear that Jesus was asking the question to test Philip. History also makes us understand, apart from Philip being from that vicinity, Philip was a very tactical man, very business focused and smart thinking. And so, the moment Jesus asks him, he begins his calculations and all that. And then the writer is making it clear here. He asked him to test him. And so Jesus asking him, he knew what he was going to do, but he asked Philip to test him, to see how he was going to respond to this question, to this particular need that was in front of them. You see, many of us need to begin to learn from this. This story, Philip has been faced with a question. And the question I ask myself, why does God involve Philip in this when he knows what he wants to do? Likewise, there are many things God wants to do in this community, but he, through this, is pointing out something that he wants to involve human beings in his actions, in his decisions. We are the workforce. He is God of God, and it goes all the way to Genesis. When he created human beings and he blessed them and he gave them the earth and he said that they should multiply and increase and fill it. And so he had given the right dominion to human beings to tilt and to take care of this land and to work on it and to do everything. And so when it comes to the affairs of human beings, even though God is the ultimate God and he created our universe, he desires that human beings, because he is God that does not go back on his own word, he desires human beings to be involved in the decisions that he's making. And so he asks Philip, where can we find bread? You and I must learn this about our God. In as much powerful and awesome God he is, we must see it as a privilege to even be involved in his decision, his plan to save the whole world. He has given us a call and he has made it clear that he wants us to be involved here. Just as Jesus could have just let bread or food appear in every family member's pocket. Jesus could do that. He had already caught fish. Money out of fish already. He told his go to the sea, go and catch a fish and pick money from the fish and pay the tax. And so Jesus was capable of just manufacturing the food and it appearing in everybody's bread. Or he could have even spiritually just somehow make everybody full and nobody would have needed food. But Jesus did not choose that approach. Jesus chose to ask Philip, where can we find bread? God knows. This year, he knows next year, he knows the needs in our community. He knows the needs of your family as a father, as a mother. He knows everything that you need to do. But yet still, he's giving you an invitation to be part of the problem solving. And as workers, as servants of God, as we desire to serve God, need to understand that it is a great privilege. It is a great privilege that we have been given by God to be part of his decisions, to be part of executing His plan. We are His workforce. And so look at this. To test Him, He opens His mouth. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient. Jesus didn't ask Him, how much bread can we use? Jesus said, where can we buy bread? And this guy opens his mouth and he gives Jesus an answer from what he is thinking. That 200 denarii of bread cannot feed these people. He didn't answer Jesus' question. He chose to give his own answer. He had done his own calculations and he had given Jesus an answer. But that wasn't what Jesus was asking. You see, we see the need, we see the harvest, we see the work that needs to be done. God has decided to involve us anyhow. Philip turned to what he knows how to do best, his calculations. This 200 denarii apparently is 6 months worth wages of money that is paid to the average person in those days. Why didn't he say 2 years or 1 year's earning and he just said 6 months? He still limited himself even in his big thinking. Philip was quick. Philip was quick. You see, when I look at this, it brings me to Ezekiel, where God shows dry bones to Ezekiel. And he asks Ezekiel, can these dry bones walk or live? And he opens his mouth. Ezekiel, the prophet, opens his mouth and he says, Lord, you only know. You only know. You only know if these bones can walk. And the Lord said, turn to yourself and prophesy. Speak to the dry bones. I just keep thinking to myself, these guys had been following Jesus. They had seen the very miracles he was performing. They had seen everything he was doing. But when the Lord asked him, what can we do? Where can we find bread? He quickly jumped to his own ways, his own conclusions, and he totally forgot the person that was asking him the question. I don't think we can do this. And many Christians in these modern days, in our service of God, in our ways of serving God, in our own personal lives, in our own families, in our own ways in which God has called us to serve Him, we always, always try to do the work from our own calculations and our own standards on and our own reasoning how the work needs to be done. How it needs to be done. And so most of the time, we jump to our own conclusions, forgetting that we are dealing with the Supreme God. Forgetting that we are dealing with a very powerful God. We are working for a great and mighty God. Forgetting. But if you and I begin to look at this God and see Him for who He is, if He just could see Jesus and say, this guy is capable of everything, maybe I should throw it back to Him and say, Lord Jesus, what do you think we can do here? It says a lot about Philip. The guy really just undermined Jesus' abilities there. And many of us need to watch not to be caught up in this undermining personality. God, the Lord Jesus is painting an example here that God is a God of team. He is a good team member. Even though He's the God of gods, in the creation decision, when it came to humans, the word of God says, and God said, let us. And Jesus has reached this point where he himself knows what he wants to do. He did not jump to doing what he wanted to do. He decided to involve his disciples in the action that needs to be taken. And we need to always remember that we are a stronger person or a stronger unit together when we work as a team. You might be limited. I might be limited. But let us not forget the person that we are working for. Let us not forget who is the king of the kingdom. His name is Jesus. And this Jesus Christ is not limited on any level. He's not limited. And you see, if we begin to see that we are part of a bigger team, you and I will begin to value each other's opinions and decision making. Jesus valued. Philip was going to say something foolish. Jesus knew that. It says he said it to test him. He knows the nature. Some of you here, ministry leaders here, by God's grace, I know your nature. But I will give you the responsibility anyway. You see, the Lord Jesus knows my limitation, but he called me as your pastor anyway. We are all in this together to find the way forward together. Man of God, leader of your home. I like it when men say, I am the head of this house. Remember that you are a team with your wife. Remember, board member. Remember, leader in your workplace, whether you're a supervisor, whether you are whatever, even if you are not whatever and you are just a clerk or whatever it is, remember that team is important. Don't do the work on your own. Don't assume to do it by your own might or your strength or your, because no matter what, you are limited. That's why the word of God shall say one shall kill 1,000, but two shall kill 10,000. Let us learn from this. And so as we go ahead looking at this, Andrew also opens his mouth. And along the same lines, the verse 8, he comes along and he says, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Come on. He sees potential. But quickly demises his own potential. You see, many of us has the ability, but we quickly cut ourselves short. Because again, we are looking at things from our perspective. We forget, you see, God gave this guy wisdom somehow. I'm sure that when Jesus asked Philip, this guy quickly started looking among them. And how did he even know there was bread? He got the bread and he brought it. So he quickly decided to do something. And then suddenly, as he had the initiative to do something, he comes and he still casts himself short. If God has given you the ability and the initiative, he can give you the potential to fully execute the plan. He could have also said, Lord, this is all we have, but it is possible with you. You see, reading it from here, you and I, we know the story, we know the end, so we can begin to put words into it, right? But you and I, we are also writing our story. West Austin Christian Center has its challenges. Your family has its challenges. Your life, your journey that you are on has its own challenges. But you can begin to surrender to Jesus whatever the challenge is. Oh, in our marriage, we are faced with this challenge. You don't quickly begin to research for the next doctor that can advise on this. No, 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 no. The best physician. No, 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 no. The best this. You quickly, 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 quickly. Sometimes we haven't even prayed, but we decide. And so he also undermines his abilities and what God can do. But it does not end there. Jesus opens his mouth. Make the people sit down. Look at what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is fully in charge and in control. There is no stress. There is no panic. There is no running around helter-skelter. There is no deciding to close the meeting and scatter people to go back home. Jesus said, let the people sit down. I remember we recently just finished a series on the shepherd series where Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If Jesus is our Lord and our shepherd and our master, whom we are working for, if he is the king of the kingdom and we are serving him, we got to begin to learn this from him. With Jesus, there is nothing like panic. There is nothing like helter scatter. There is nothing like frustration. There is nothing like depression. He is fully in charge. And so what you see as a problem is not a problem for Jesus. What you and I might be seeing in this community as issues and problems are not problems for Jesus. The problems you have in your marriage, they are not problems for Jesus. The issues you have at your workplace, as a team member, as a team leader, whatever it is, however you are seeking to pursue the vision, the calling, the agenda that Jesus has given you, it is not a problem. It is not an issue at all. It is not. Jesus is fully in charge. Master Jesus, the Lord of Lords, the great I am, the mighty healer, the mighty comforter, he is in control. So stop panicking. Be anxious for nothing. That's what he himself, Jesus, says. Be anxious for nothing. And so he gives an order. Let them sit down. Again, you see, even though his disciples were running around and giving foolish and uncalculated decisions and undermining themselves and all that, yet still, he speaks out. Yet still, he's still looking at using them. He didn't take authority and say, hey, everybody sit down. No, no, no. He said, let the people. Jesus still wants to use you regardless of how you are, what you are, your limitations. He still wants to use you. Let the people sit down. You have messed up. Maybe last night, you just know what you did last night, where you are coming from, whatever you did. Wherever you are making a mistake, you know. He says, let them sit down. He still wants to use you and I. He still wants to involve you and I. Whatever error you made years ago that has made you stop serving God, that has made you desiring to live for the Lord Jesus, shouldn't control you today. After today, you should understand that Jesus wants to use you regardless. He knew he wasn't perfect. He knew he wasn't going to give him the answer. But yet still, he involved him. Jesus knows you and I, we are not perfect. We are on the perfection journey. Until the kingdom comes, until he comes down, we are never going to be perfect. But he wants to use us regardless. He wants to involve you regardless. And so this is how you can begin to look at him. You can begin to understand that Jesus is able. He is able to do. He's able to use me. The disciples weren't perfect people and he used them regardless. I am not perfect. I have my sores. I have my lack of English. I have my lack of education. I have my lack of preparation. But Jesus will use you regardless. Jesus is looking for somebody that is willing. When he gave them the command to let the people sit, they moved and they began to do what they were called to do, what they had been asked to do. Children of God, begin to do what God has laid upon your heart. Begin to move forward. God will bring people along the way. God will make ways that he himself will use to teach you. You see, Philip was supposed to learn something out of this. Andrew was supposed to learn something out of this. You and I, studying this subject now, are supposed to learn something out of this. What is Jesus doing? We are still on the perfection journey. He's molding you. He's cramping you. He's shaping you. He's cutting away certain things. Even as I speak to you, he's preparing you. You will be ready when that time comes. When you allow him, he will take you on this journey of preparation. You will learn, and the best will only come out of you. And so the word of God says, he took it, the bread, the loaves, the barleys. He gave thanks. Jesus didn't go on some 24-hour miraculous prayer encounters. Jesus didn't go on some 16-year fasting. No. Jesus didn't say, oh, I have not fasted, I have not prayed, so I can't do anything about this now. No. Jesus took what was available and he gave thanks. We have to learn. You see, the word that came today, thank God, praise God, regardless of your situation. Praising God must be. And last week, the message that also came, we have to learn to praise God. Praising God must be key on a child of God's agenda. Praise him regardless. You are limited by praise him. You don't have bills, your money, you can't even pay your bills by praise him. Sometimes my wife, she is the manager of our home. She manages our finances and our situations. And she will tell me, baby, you know, we don't. I say, glory to God, the Lord will make a way. You see how I'm standing here so nicely dressed, handsome? I probably don't know what I'm going to eat this afternoon. But if it comes to praising, I'll be the first to rise and praise. See how I'm always smiling with you guys here? I'm not always feeling good physically. But as for praise, you can't take that from me. Take everything. Take everything. Satan knows he has taken me to the worst places in this world. Take everything. As leaders, as servants of God, as children of God, you got to remember this. Praise is key. Thanking God for what you have. Many don't have a quarter, a peso, a move of what we have today, but yet still doing great and mighty things. Yet still some of us have so much and yet still doing little. Yet still doing little. But you see, Jesus praised God. He gave thanks to God. He prayed. That is why prayer has to be very important to the servant of God. The servant of God, that makes headway, that moves forward, that really fulfills the agenda, is the one that is tight in connection in prayer. Which is also why our second mission statement is a house of prayer. We need to learn to pray. You see, the I surrender is basically when you take up a lifestyle of prayer. All situation, every circumstance, you bring it to Jesus and you say, Lord, we are looking up to you for this. You know, my childbearing situation, I'm looking up to you. How can I handle it? My bills that I can't pay, I don't have answers to. Lord Jesus, I give it to you. I surrender to you. Lord Jesus, I surrender to you. So weep before Jesus. Don't go and sit in front of a bank manager and weep. Weep before Jesus. As a church, we need to begin to learn how to weep before Jesus. Weep, weep. Call on Jesus and weep. surrender the situation to him. I surrender all the money problem that you have, the issues that you are facing, even the personnel problems that we have here. We need to begin to learn to weep and cry before the Lord Jesus. Because if we really look at ourselves here, the issues cannot be solved. But Jesus can handle it. He expects us to bring it to him. He called us on this journey of serving him. He called us on this journey of reaching out to the neighborhood. He will provide. We need to pray, children of God. Sometimes I look at our prayer meetings. Look at how many people are seated here. And how many people come out on Fridays to pray. How many people come out when we need to pray? We have fasting and prayer week coming up. I wonder how many people of us are preparing ourselves for the fasting of prayer, week of prayer. We have 31st night service coming up. I bet some people are saying, oh, it's going to be boring. They are going to be praying and praying. I don't want to go to that one. I will go to New York City and go and stand in the cold and be among all the unbelievers doing their unbelieving things and enjoy. That is fun. Children of God, spiritual connection with God must be key on our radar if we are ever going to be fruitful in this ministry, in this calling, in the life, your own personal Christian life. You have to begin to prioritize a connection with Jesus, a connection where you pray day and night. You pray, the word of God says, pray without ceasing. Everything, committing it to God, giving thanks to God, being graceful, being gracious and accepting your challenges, taking them by the horn and running with them, giving it all to Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. I am limited here, but I know you can solve it. I pray more than everything that we have to do here. There are certain things, my wife brings them up, I act like it's not a problem. But when she's sleeping, I'm up. Sometimes I don't even know what I'm telling the Lord. I'm so burdened in my spirit, I don't even know what I'm telling the Lord. And I'm weeping. Lord, make a way. Lord, make a way. Children of God, begin to pray. Pray, pray. Jesus prays. And then suddenly, when he finished, he gave it again to the disciples. Go round and start giving the bread. What a sign. What a sign of the bread giver. The one that will meet our physical needs. The master of all situations. Again, he's using them. You guys have looked at me, however, but I still want to use you. Child of God, wherever you are, Jesus wants to use you. He wants to use you. Begin to look up to him. Begin to surrender to him. Begin to open yourself up to him. Begin to yield to him. Bring it all. I surrender all to you. All my needs, all my challenges, all my joy, all my unjoy, all my stress, all my worry, everything. With prayer and thanks, make known your request unto the Lord. And you will find that he will begin. You see, as the disciples continue to break the bread, it didn't end. Did you see the miracle happening? They broke the bread. They keep giving it. We might be limited in our ways, but as we pray and we seek God and we are willing to serve, we are willing to do the things he's asked us to do, the breakthroughs will come naturally. God himself will do it. We don't have to manufacture it. We have cantata night on Friday. I remember somebody said to me, we need to pray, we need more singers. I said, okay, I've been praying, Lord. Even if it is two people that stand up here to sing, God will perform a miracle. God will perform a miracle. The Lord Jesus will perform a miracle. We don't have to be the best at everything,
But we can be known that we are children of God by our heart and our service and our yielding to the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May God favor you. This year, as you are even preparing, it's coming to an end. Begin to prepare yourself and begin to make Jesus the center. In your decision making, maybe you have started deciding, making plans, ministry leaders, you're making plans. Next year, we are beginning new things. Begin to make Jesus the center. Do not be limited to you and I's circumstances and around us and limitations. Look at how many empty chairs are here. Don't let that control your decision makings. Pray and let the Lord of the harvest give you a direction. And when you hear, be willing to carry it out. Jesus will use you and I anyway. God bless you. God bless you. May his face shine upon you. May his peace be upon you. May his countenance rest upon you every time, everywhere you go. In Jesus' mighty name, shall we pray? Please take some time.